97.5, The Fanatic.
Yes, we do have interim GM of your Philadelphia Flyers, Danny Briere, joining us here at the Flyers Charities Carnival. Such an awesome event, and it's really great to have this event back after a three-year hiatus. First of all, Danny, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I know you're a busy man these days, but appreciate the time. And just talk to us a little bit before we get into the nuts and bolts of what this event means to you as a former player, as now the interim GM of the team, and knowing what these charities benefit and what this event represents. What does it mean to see everybody back here at the center for this?
Well, not having it too for, you know, what the last couple of years, there's a big void, there's a big hole missing in the season, it felt like. I remember still my first time when I signed with the Flyers, I didn't realize how big this event was. Seeing how many people are coming out for it, it's fabulous. I'm so excited that it's back. I see so many faces back at this carnival. It seems to get bigger and bigger every year. You know, our staff has done a tremendous job, too. I really commend on that.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, and appreciate everything you guys do as an organization to put this together. Now, let's turn it over to a little bit of the hockey stuff, of course, because that's what we are here to dive into. You have a tall task ahead of you, and I know that's not lost on you as someone who's a hockey lifer and knows this city well and this fan base and the expectations that come with Flyers hockey here in Philadelphia. As far as where the organization stands right now and where we all know you hope to take it and we have faith in you to take it, what's the biggest obstacle standing in your way of realizing the goals that you have in the position of interim GM right now?
Well, I don't know about obstacles, but I'm really excited about the future, to be honest with you. I understand you look at last year's season, you look at this year's season, not making a playoff once again. But looking at where we're going, the direction we're going, the play of our younger crew of players lately is super exciting. And, you know, we have some good young up-and-comer players that are not even on the team. They're still either in college, or we had Emil Andre just play his first game with the Phantoms yesterday. I'm super excited about the future of this team.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And you mentioned a word there, direction. And that's something that Flyers fans have been looking for the past couple years now. Not just us, but everybody that's out here. What would you like to say about the direction of this team going forward in this the next offseason, the offseasons to follow?
Well, I said it before, but we're going to need a little bit of patience from the fans, understanding that, you know, what we're trying to do is might be a little hurtful at times in the short term. We're just going to need a little bit of patience. We've said it before, it's going to be a rebuild. We're going to do it the proper way. Part of the reason why, you've probably read today, but Tyson Forster and Igor Zamula, even though they played great in their stint, we're really happy by what they showed, but the right thing to do at the moment is to send him down, get him the chance to play in some meaningful games, playoff games down there with the Phantoms. So that's an example of, you know, the stuff that we might see in the short term. But again, I go back to it. It's exciting. Talking about Tyson Forster, the way he's played, what he showed us the last eight games coming up, it's super exciting for the future.
Yeah, he can shoot the puck a little bit too, can he?
He is not bad at that.
Yeah, unbelievable. Dave, let me ask you about, you know, one of the things when you're dealing in a rebuild is the timeline, and you can't really, you know, put a definitive number on a timeline because things change really quick. Opportunity presents itself in weird ways. But when you look at the situation and how guys fit into that timeline, Torts has mentioned subtraction quite a bit, so I'm going to ask you a tough question. I'm not here just for emotional support. But Torts talks about subtraction, and that's, you know, some guys you got to move on from, but you got to replace them. Is the objective to replace them with younger, better, cheaper? Or like, how do you kind of, you know, there's all different parts of that equation going forward. Because this isn't just a map of building a roster that goes on the ice. There's also the long-range planning of the cap and all of those elements, and hopefully it rises soon.
Yeah, and then the one thing we have to be careful, and that's why, too, I said, you know, one of my comments was it's not going to be a fire sale, because you also need some direction for your young guys, your younger players. You know, you need some veteran leadership to show them the way. I think that's important, too. Now, you know, depending on what opportunities presents itself, you know, and in the first part of your question, as far as the timeline, I think the players will decide that, how they develop, how fast they come around or not. But to help them grow, it's going to be important to also have good veteran leadership.
Learn how to be pros.
Exactly. Yeah. You just said it. They have to learn how to be pros. And, you know, guys at 20, 21 years old, it's not always easy. So we do have some good leadership that we're going to need in the future. So that's part of the reason why it's not going to be a fire sale. We also need that.
For sure. So we talked to Coach Tortorella earlier, and a lot of people, when he took this job this past offseason, questioned the timing of it as a coach with his resume and where the organization was. And now as you look at a time where you're trying to build a winning organization again and build that culture, how important is it to have a man with his resume at the NHL level at the helm of the team when it comes to coaching? And what does that mean for you in your position building the roster that he's going to have to work with?
Honestly, I think it makes my job easier having a guy like John at the helm. You know, there's so many good coaches available last summer. And, you know, I don't know if he was the best coach, but he was the best coach at the moment for the Philadelphia Flyers. Mm. And I look back at the work he's done this year, what he's going to be able to do with the young guys moving forward. The one thing, I think the perception is that he's not good with young players. He's not good with younger guys. Is so untrue. You know, he molds them the way he wants and in what we're trying to build here. So I'm excited about John Tortorella.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Absolutely. And I want to ask you about a guy in Cutter Gauthier, who you guys picked last year, I believe fifth overall. Word's coming out that he's going back to BC for his sophomore season.
Confirm or deny?
Yes, I can confirm it.
Was that expected? Is that the right move for him? And what are your thoughts on him going forward as a prospect in this organization?
I thought it was probably 50-50 going into it that he was going to turn pro. You know, I'm not disappointed with the decision, to be honest. I think it's going to be great for him to develop, to get a little bigger, stronger, faster, more mature, having the chance. I think for the development of Cutter Gauthier, and I told him that, he needed to play 20 to 25 minutes a night. And, you know, I'm not sure that with the Flyers that would have been the case. So, you know, that's at the end of the day what mattered. I don't want the best Cutter Gauthier next season or in 2 years from now. I want the best Cutter Gauthier 5 years from now for another 10 to 12 years. And that's really what matters for the future of the Flyers. So I'm not disappointed with the decision. I know he's going to play a lot. He's going to, you know, he played the whole season with Greg Brown there in the middle as a centerman, developing his game in the middle because he had played on the wing the previous year. So we saw tremendous growth on his part last season. I think it's going to keep going at least for another year, so I'm excited.
Another NTDP member is joining that team next year too, and Will Smith, and maybe a guy that maybe on your radar come draft day. But Danny, let's talk about this timing for you, because you retired after 14-15. Is that the last
14-15 was my last year as a player, yes.
Yeah, and so after that, you get involved in the business side. You do some shadowing with Sean Tilger. You go back to school. You go to Wharton. You ran the ECHL team. You worked in player development, too. And you've been found in rinks globally at this point looking at players. Why is this the right time for you to jump into this role as opposed to maybe in 2017, the experience that you have now and the knowledge you have now?
Well, you know, to me, it started even before that. You know, even as a player, when I was a player, I was always someone that kind of enjoyed watching how rosters were built. And you know, I was pretty lucky to see different stages of that. You know, with the Flyers, we were going after it under Paul Holmgren. When I went to Montreal, well, even in Buffalo before that, we were part of kind of a rebuild there under Darcy.
They're
Regier.
Still in it, by the way.
I think they're starting to come out the way they, you know, some of their young guys. But that was an exciting part. I went to Montreal where they were putting the finishing touch. You know, they were built around Carey Price. So, you know, they were looking for character. They were looking for veteran leadership. When I showed up, I saw parts of that. And then I went to Colorado where it was really the beginning of the rebuild there with the Landeskog and Duchesne was still there. Nate McKinnon was there, Ryan O'Reilly. And I know they've moved some pieces around, but you look at the team that they've become. So I was able to see that firsthand. And then you've mentioned the last few years. So I feel ready for it. I feel excited. And again, I think the most important part is where the team is positioned at the moment. It makes me very, very positive about the future of the Flyers.
Plus, you know what it's like if you can get it straightened out here, what it means to this fan base.
Well, I was lucky enough to play, you know, in front of these fans here when the team is pushing for a Stanley Cup, and there's nothing like it.
Yeah, we hope to be back there as soon as possible. We know that you're going to work your hardest to make sure
Definitely.
That's a reality. Danny, really appreciate the time you're taking to join us. Best of luck with everything. We are all pulling for you, and again, like Jason said, you know what it's like to have great hockey in this city.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Danny Briere, interim GM of your Philadelphia Flyers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.